Hi everyone, this is Alexander Defoe. You're listening in on my first BBS radio broadcast. Today I'll be talking about the nature of introspection and meditation and how these tools can help us learn more about ourselves. Before I start, I'd just like to tell you a bit more about myself and my background. I haven't done radio before, but I have got a YouTube channel. You might like to check it out. It's at youtube.com/user/AlexD181. And there you'll find a lot of videos that I do about meditation, consciousness. You'll also find videos about other topics like lucid dreaming and astral projection. And all of these tools can help us learn more about ourselves and our reality by expanding our consciousness. So during this program, what I'd like to talk about is what specific meditation techniques we can use to become more aware of what's going on within ourselves and in the world around us. In future programs, I'll also be talking about hypnosis, NLP, and other consciousness states. And they'll probably be a bit more interactive than these first few programs, where I'll just be discussing a variety of topics. I may be introducing some guests for an interview and also accepting calls throughout the radio show. But for the time being, to let you know a bit more about myself, I have a background in counseling, but my main interest is consciousness and the nature of consciousness and how we can use this to for personal development and to help others. So what you'll find in modern psychology and psychiatry is that this is not the way things are. Things are a lot more simplistic, and presently in mental health, a lot of things are focused around simply prescribing drugs or quick fix solutions, so to speak. So my approach is a lot different to this. It's more about, you know, actually connecting to our true selves, and to do that we can use tools like meditation and self-observation to the point where we begin separating who we are from the emotions and the thoughts that we experience. So if we're thinking a certain thing, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm angry or I'm depressed, then we can sort of separate the person from that problem state. Whereas many people in our world who aren't very self-conscious or self-aware will tend to create a problem out of that behavior or out of that emotion or out of that, you know, thought. It becomes problematic in a disease where, in fact, it's just a part of our consciousness that we can bring awareness to. And often what happens when we bring awareness to it is that it resolves itself, so to speak. So it really comes down to who we are rather than, you know, what we're expressing for our thoughts and feelings. These are just expressions of our inner being. And I guess I first started thinking about things in this way about 5 or 6 years ago when I began meditating. And at first I found it really difficult to meditate. I couldn't sit still for more than a couple of minutes. Now I find it fairly easy to just go into a meditation for half an hour or longer. And you get these really interesting states of consciousness from meditation. You're able to just let all of the thoughts and feelings kind of fall away, and they're doing their own thing. But then you're just there in that state of stillness, in that state of centeredness. And I think that this is really important, especially in our society and generally, to be able to get back to that natural state of being. And that's one of the reasons that I decided to set up this radio show. So I can talk about some of the methods I've used And this radio show is going to be very practical. I'm not just going to talk about morals or philosophy or theories in spirituality as much as the actual techniques that you can use. And we'll cover some today. And you'll be able to use these techniques to experiment with them and figure out, you know, how you can practically apply meditation in your life. So I suppose one of the more profound experiences that I've had with meditation probably occurred about 4 years ago when I had a energy awakening experience. And you may have come across information about the chakras or astral travel or energy. And if you have, you probably have some idea of what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I'll try to explain it as best as I can. Basically, I was sitting in a meditation and I noticed the sense of energy moving all through my body. And eventually it came to a stop in between my forehead, which many people refer to as the third eye. So when this happened, I kind of went into an astral projection experience very easily. You'll find a lot of people will struggle with connecting to their spiritual selves or, you know, lucid dreaming or experiencing energy. But I found that at that one particular moment, it happened very naturally and very easily. And this led to the realization for me that, you know, we can all do it. We can all connect to that level of consciousness. So I guess it's just a matter of learning, you know, that we're all capable of doing that without putting so many obstacles in front of ourselves and saying, you know, that it's going to take a long time or that it's really difficult to experience the broader reality. Because that's not the case. I think the difficulty comes from the obstacles that we've put up to that reality rather than, you know, the difficulty in experiencing it. There is none. The only difficulty is the resistance we've created, that ego level resistance. So we'll probably talk about the chakras some more in a future show. And by the way, if you have some comments or a question, I haven't set up the feature to be able to call in yet, but you can email me at radio@alexdefoe.com and I'll definitely answer or respond to the question on the next show. Once I become more familiar with the radio program, I'll also be taking calls and interviews. Essentially, this is a program for your personal development and your spiritual awareness, so any feedback about what is useful for you would be really appreciated, and I can then create future programs around those topics. Now, this program is called Awaken Your Higher Mind, and how I came across, you know, this topic and this whole idea of higher mind is for exploring the difference between the left brain hemisphere and the right brain hemisphere. And especially how we can use different aspects of the brain to access different elements of our being. And what we find from using the right brain hemisphere and even the frontal lobes is that we can go into meditation much easier. So a lot of, you know, what I'll be talking about is related to this, because I've gone to quite a few meditation groups, meditation classes, and a lot of people try to teach meditation in a left brain modality approach, you know, like step one, do this, step two, let go of your thoughts, step three, focus on your breathing. And meditation is actually pretty difficult to teach in that traditional educational left brain thinking. What I've found with working with, you know, the right brain hemisphere is that communication and knowledge gets transferred a lot faster when we're not, you know, giving instructions so much and trying to educate, but when we're open to experiencing. And that's what I'll be talking about, how to do, is how to get into that state of experience as opposed to knowledge gathering. Because when we go into knowledge gathering, it stops being about meditation and it starts being about ourselves and, you know, what we're learning, which has its uses, you know, but when we're wanting to stay in that experience of meditation, it's fairly important to be able to access the right elements of our mind and obviously to be able to use our physiology and use our brain in a way that allows us to naturally and easily enter that state of meditation. So I actually stumbled across various exercises and techniques on the web and in some books that I'll be mentioning that work on activating what people call the third eye, activating the certain areas of the brain like the frontal lobes or the pineal gland that all relate to this ability we have to awaken our higher mind, higher consciousness. And just by using these exercises, we find that we fall into meditation much easier and can experience, you know, a connection to ourselves separate from our thinking and our emotions and experience such states as lucid dreaming and astral travel, because we're no longer stuck in that left brain thinking. So as you probably know, the left brain, you know, it's very much responsible for organizing information and storing and learning and sequencing, whereas the right brain is more abstract and free-flowing. And in our world, we're tumbling more and more towards a left brain society. That's just the way things are. So, of course, meditation is going to be difficult to learn and seem like it's difficult. In reality, meditation isn't difficult. We're difficult because of this left brain world. So, I mean, another topic I'll be talking about is energy and hypnosis. And we can use these two elements too to enter deeper states of consciousness and to learn how to meditate at that deeper level where we're not just touching the surface, we're going beyond the surface and actually experiencing the inner worlds. So I found a big roadblock to perhaps learning meditation is that many psychics and individuals who publish books, they'll say that they have a gift, that they can do all of this. And that may be true, but it kind of also makes you think, you know, these people are special. Whereas I go back to what I said earlier, and in reality, anyone can, you know, meditate and do amazing things with their mind. We've all got that capability. One of my professional backgrounds is also in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which is a modality, a therapeutic modality that suggests that we each have an incredible amount of potential within us, but that potential is on a subconscious or unconscious level, and consciously we're actually, you know, pulling ourselves away from it because we're conditioned to act a certain way, to be a certain way in society. And once we get away from that and get back to our true talents, that true wellspring of consciousness beneath the surface level conditioning, that's when all of those talents begin coming out naturally. And much the same concept applies to meditation. Another issue, I mean, that comes up a lot on my YouTube channel is I get people sending me emails and saying, you know, these experiences, they're really quite profound that you're talking about. And they ask me if I've used, you know, substances or like marijuana or something to be able to access those states of consciousness. Because they, you know, I've had a few emails from people who have said that they do use substances and it helps them. Now, I'd just like to mention that, you know, I've never used any substances like that. And I pretty much even stay away from pharmaceutical drugs and hardly ever drink. So, you know, that goes more to the point that it's so easy for us to naturally access states of meditation and deeper consciousness. We don't need, you know, substances or someone to tell us that it's a special gift and only they can do it. Those are all like myths about experiencing our greater reality. The only reason it seems difficult, as I mentioned earlier, is because of the society we're living in. But on a personal level, it's actually very easy for us to be able to get back to a state of core consciousness, a state of grounded consciousness. And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. So I guess a good way of, you know, putting this is like, it's a bit like using a muscle you never used before. I haven't used it in a really long time. If you talk about perhaps the ability that people have to see an aura or to, you know, create an energy ball, you know, this is really out there for most people in our society. And it may seem really difficult, but it's actually a natural ability that we all have that hasn't been used for centuries, probably millennia. And it's become numb and fatigued, like a muscle that you haven't used. So when you begin waking up energy within yourself, as we'll talk about, kind of raising it through the chakras, opening your third eye, and so forth, what you'll find is that you will experience some very strange sensations, but then as they begin to grow, you'll become more familiar, more comfortable with them. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's like, waking up that part of yourself that has been dormant for a very long time. So essentially, you know, we get into this conditioning that we are the mind or we are the emotions, but we're not. We're a separate consciousness that experiences. We don't just think or have emotions. As many people are stuck in that state in our society, we are more than that, and that's where meditation comes in. So I'll just talk briefly about introspection. And introspection is kind of a form of meditation where we begin considering, contemplating our thinking and our emotions and even our behavior. So rather than doing something or feeling something or, you know, thinking about something, we take a step back with introspection practice and observe ourselves. So, you know, next time you're constantly thinking over a problem or an issue or something that's bothering you, a good approach to take is step back and observe your thinking. So then you no longer become the thought. You become, you know, who you are, separate from that consciousness, and you're observing the thought. And you can do the same with feelings. You'll often notice when someone gets quite upset or angry, they can become the upset or the anger. They become the emotion, and it kind of overtakes them. You can kind of see this emotion flooding into their body, and it embodies them, literally. But as soon as you actually step back and observe the emotion, what you'll find is it no longer does that. You know, you'll feel angry, or you'll feel upset, or you'll feel, you know, whatever it is you're feeling, but you don't embody that and become stuck in that and start ruminating and, you know, be stuck in that state for hours, which is many, you know, many people involved in stress management have research is actually really unhealthy for us to do that, to leave that emotion in our bodies. And you can also do the same with behavior. You can step back and observe behavior with this introspection practice. So, you know, some people ask, you know, why do I always do this, or why do I always have a certain behavior? If you ever ask yourself that kind of question, you know, it's just a matter of next time you do a behavior that you're kind of a bit unhappy about or a bit unsure about why you do that, it's just a matter of stepping back and observing yourself doing that behavior. And a lot of the time you can let go and change the behavior, change the emotion or whatever it is through this practice. And the reason for that is that when you're not judging the emotional behavior, or, you know, kind of when someone, for example, feels angry, they, you know, feel they should be justified, and therefore they judge and make an evaluation of the feeling and therefore try to defend it. So what happens when you step back and just observe the emotion? you no longer judge it, and therefore you can let it go more easily. Likewise, the same applies to behavior. If you're judging yourself and saying, I always do that, or I always make this mistake, why do I do that? Then you keep doing it, obviously, because you're making that judgment on yourself. As soon as you step back, you let go. Now, we can do this on all three levels at the same time. You can observe your thinking, your emotional state, and your behavior at the same time. You can do what's called a quick sweep of your body and what's going on with you every few minutes, just by simply asking yourself, what am I thinking now? What am I feeling now? What am I doing now? But your answer shouldn't be a judgment. It should just be an observation. Simply observe. Yes, I'm doing that. I'm thinking that. I'm feeling that. And that's okay. Now, when you do this, you simply embody the experience. The experience of being in that feeling, in that thought, doing that particular thing. You're simply experiencing yourself doing that. Whereas when you don't observe, you tend to go into a state of, belief system. If I do this particular action, it means, or because I'm feeling quite sad at the moment, it means that, whatever it may mean for you. Whereas when you just observe and kind of observe the emotion, it simply becomes a matter of, this is what it is. I'm experiencing this at the moment. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. It may mean something, but I'm not making that judgment on it. So what tends to happen when you practice this, I found even after a few weeks of kind of learning and practicing this kind of technique, experimenting and tweaking it, is you tend to find more subtle kind of emotions and thoughts below the surface. They tend to bubble up. And you didn't even realize they were there before. It's interesting because when you let go of something on the surface, you notice there's something else behind that. And that's a really interesting experience to have, because you're learning more about yourself, you're becoming more self-aware. And, the more you let go of, the deeper you can obviously meditate, because all that surface stuff is no longer in the way. So, when you stop analyzing and evaluating your states of being, you tend to fall back into experience, and you gain more power within yourself. So if you think about it, what has the power when you experience a really strong emotion or are thinking over something for a really long time? That thought actually has a lot of power, doesn't it? And you're giving, your emotions quite a lot of power if you let them completely embody you. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal to let one thing completely take over your entire field of being that easily, if you think about it. So, the way that I see this is bringing power back to yourself, to your centered level of consciousness, and away from, not necessarily giving 100% of your power to what you're thinking or what you're feeling at any given time. I mean, it's definitely valid, but it's a matter of asking yourself, is it that valid that I'm going to give away all my energy and all my power to this, at the present moment? And often the answer, will be no. What's the point of wasting so much time and energy just on that one thing? And another realization that comes up with this practice is, who am I exactly? Because when you start stepping back and you say, okay, well, I'm observing my thinking, I'm observing my feelings, and, I'm even observing what I'm doing right now. So I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my feelings, I'm not the behavior, because I'm observing all of those. So, who am I then? And that's a really interesting question that comes up for people who do meditation properly and who do this introspection practice properly, because they get that deeper insight. And, a lot of people listening, and you've probably experienced some variation of this. And for me, I think it's actually really important to kind of reach those people who haven't had that experience yet, and to be able to, you know, realize that it's just a simple matter of, you know, explaining the difference between evaluation and observation, between, you know, experience and analyzing the experience. And eventually a person will hit that point where, you know, they ask, who am I? And that's really the most important question. Because once you ask that question, then everything else that's really interesting begins to kind of come up for you. And what you find is that the true self, it transcends the emotions and the thoughts and, you know, material reality. But that's just not something that can be explained. You'll find people get into arguments about, you know, materialism or idealism or spirituality or various types of philosophy, and, you know, they'll argue for ages, but what's the point of arguing when you can, you know, go straight into the experience? That's, you know, the fundamental. So what I'd like to talk about is just, you know, an introspection technique that you can do yourself and that you can practice quite easily. Before I do that, I'd just like to take a short, you know, maybe 5-minute break. I've got a bit of a cold, so I can catch my breath and then we can continue.
BBS Radio.
All right, you're back with Alex Defoe on Awaken Your Higher Mind at BBS Radio. So we discussed earlier the nature of introspection and the importance of looking at our thinking and our emotions rather than simply engaging with them and letting them take over us. So now we'll move on to a short practice that you can do any time, pretty much. And it's a good idea to practice this as much as possible, because the more you practice, the more self-awareness you can cultivate, so to speak. So we began talking about how, you know, you begin to transcend those emotions and thoughts through observation, because you almost become the watcher of thinking. And what you can actually do to practice this, what I like to do, is to focus on one particular area of your body. So you can do this anytime. I like to focus on, you know, the middle of the forehead. So if you bring all your attention to that area of your body, or choose any area you like that feels comfortable for you, you know, it could be middle of your chest, or your back, or your legs that kind of ground you, whatever's more comfortable, and become really aware of this area. And as you become more aware of this area, you might notice that certain thoughts or emotions do come up. And when this happens, you know, simply bring your attention back to that area of your body. So this is kind of like your anchor, your grounding point. If you think about it in that way, if you think about your thoughts and your emotions, it's kind of like, you know, like an ocean or a tide that kind of sweeps around you. It can very easily, you know, sweep you up, and you suddenly go off and start thinking about that, you know, that train of thought, and suddenly you're thinking about something totally unrelated, and then, or a certain emotional state that you get it really wound up about, and before you know it, you're, you know, ready to do something drastic before thinking it over. So by focusing on that one area of your body, you're kind of just recentering all your energy and, you know, pointing all the energy at that area. So from this practice, you're focusing on this area of your body, and you notice a certain thought come up, for example, for you. And when that happens, just observe that thought there, it's over there, but your attention for the time being is here, at your center. And as you do this, you become much more aware of just exactly what's going on in your field of energy. You know, what particular thoughts are there that have been lurking there for a while, and what exactly is going on there. And you become more and more conscious of your overall experience. So go ahead and try this technique for even 5 minutes a day, and you'll begin to notice how easily it is to actually ground yourself rather than being swept up in those thoughts and emotions really easily. And it's a very neutral, just keep in mind, it's a very neutral kind of perspective that you're observing from. It's not a perspective of judgment or analysis or saying, I've caught that emotion, that's really negative. Now I have to get rid of it. That's not what we're doing here. It's more about just being centered in that one area of your body and kind of letting the emotion sweep over and past you. So what's happening is that it's moving through you rather than kind of sweeping you under it and taking you on that ride. So that's the first technique I wanted to talk about. The next one is called a retrospection, which is a bit different to introspection. Here we're actually going to an event in the past. You may be thinking, how can I be aware or self-aware all the time, 24 hours a day? Obviously, that's quite a big ask. And there is a technique you can do, even if you're not very aware and just kind of rushing through the day. There's a technique I like to do in the evening, retrospection practice, where what you actually do is go back on your timeline, go back throughout the day, go back for each of the events that happen, each of the experiences. But this time, what you're actually doing, instead of just remembering them and making judgments and analyses on them, you're actually going with that observation. You're taking that centeredness with you throughout the day. And something really amazing happens when you do that, because you actually transform your past experiences to become less fragmented and more integrated within yourself. And you actually feel really good after doing this practice, because we all have a lot of unprocessed emotions and thinking throughout our day. And if you just go to sleep at night, they come up in dreams and nightmares and, just kind of keep, stuck in your energy field. But by practicing retrospection, you actually give yourself a chance to process them by walking through your entire day. So the main aim here, I suppose, is to, learn something new about yourself, to learn a new perspective of seeing things. Because this time, when you're recalling an event during the day, you're not attempting to see it through your own eyes. You're attempting to see it through the eyes of awareness, that whole complete consciousness of, who else was involved, what was happening during that time, and bring awareness to all of those aspects, all of your senses, all of your experiences. So what you'll find is that you missed a lot of information. You perhaps weren't aware of what was going on outside or with someone else, and you begin to fill in the gaps, so to speak. So for this technique, a good idea is to pick a situation where you felt you rushed through it without much self-consciousness, or perhaps you were very involved in a particular emotion or very judgmental about a particular situation. That might be perfectly fine, but I find that those experiences are really good starting points to see if perhaps you weren't as aware or self-aware as you could have been. So once you've picked the situation, what you can actually do is allow yourself to just remember what that was like for you. You might get a visual representation of, yourself kind of going through those motions, going through those steps again. And you might have all those feelings come back that you experienced during those few moments, or however long it was. And then when this begins happening, rather than kind of, you know, narrating this memory and saying, you know, yep, I feel that way and this is what happened and this is bad and this is good, instead of doing that, you know, just become aware again and observe your thoughts. You might even like to center your energy again in your body, in the memory of you doing that particular thing. And then simply focusing on that awareness, you know, not letting the thoughts kind of, the reactions take over. And you can even do this technique without necessarily having something in mind that you'd like to practice with. What I like to do is just to lie down at the end of every day and run through the entire day. And you might even like to, you know, visualize a timeline. This is the start of my day. This is the end of my day. And I'm just going to take that observation, that self-awareness from the start and kind of just sweep through. And you'll notice that it stops on its by itself. You know, yep, this here might need a bit more reflection, observation. And when that happens, kind of go back into that memory. You know, who was I talking with at that time? You know, what happened? What was I feeling? What was I thinking? What belief systems were in play? And this time, just observe it with that full awareness and just allow it to be. Allow it to pass through and move forward on the timeline until you get, you know, right up to that time when you're lying there, recalling the past day. And you can obviously do this, you know, for the past week or events, you know, as far as you can remember. And you know, I certainly use this for therapeutic purposes. You know, people find that when they go to an event in the past that they've been unconsciously dwelling about for a really long time, kind of still feeling a bit angry about that. And then when they actually go back to it, they realize just how limited their perception was of the event. They didn't have any perception of, you know, their surroundings, you know, what other people were involved, what was going on during that time. Perhaps, you know, some of their thinking during that time that could be perhaps inaccurate of the entire context of the situation. And as soon as you become aware of that, you know, sometimes really profound changes can happen. You simply let go of, you know, grudges or anger that you've had for a really long time. So these two techniques, they're really helpful. They go hand in hand, introspection, retrospection, to get you to move out of, you know, your thinking mind and to your observing and being. And these are great starting points for meditation. So I haven't gone, you know, right into like really deep meditations for this show, and the nature of what it means to, you know, really meditate deeply and experience the inner realms, you know, what people, some people call the inner realms of consciousness, where you have aspect realms, you know, spirit guides, you know, all this really interesting stuff. This is really difficult to do when you don't even have, you know, basic self-awareness, as many of you probably have already experienced, you know, without that essential quality of being able to bring awareness into a situation rather than simply that ego state of, you know, thinking, evaluating, judging. You know, it's very difficult to do much in terms of expanding your consciousness of the greater reality. So we'll definitely, you know, talk as these shows progress to more and more depth about, you know, what it means to meditate really deeply. Just coming up to the end of the show in about 10 minutes or so. So, you know, I'd just like to tell you briefly about an audiobook that I'm planning to put on my website in a few days, hopefully. It should be up. I've just received an email from someone this morning, you know, saying, why isn't it up yet? And, you know, he gave the impression that it's already there, but it should have been up by now, but there have been some delays. What you can actually do is go to my website at http://alexdefoe.com, and you'll find on the right hand side a newsletter that you can join. And as soon as that audiobook is available, I'll actually email you the link so you can download it. The title of the audiobook is 8 Reflections on Following Your True Life Path. And I bring a lot of, you know, what I've discussed today into that, you know, observation, self-awareness, and how these concepts relate to the construct we have of ourselves. A lot of the inspiration for this audiobook has been a collection of books called A Course in Miracles. Also, you know, the philosophy behind a philosopher called Plotinus, who in his work, The Innards, talked about materialism and idealism, and, you know, how we have kind of gotten lost in materialism in our world. And another inspiration for this work has been a type of therapy called solution-focused therapy, which kind of assumes that, you know, a lot of the issues and problems that people face, such as with, you know, depression and stress and, you know, this anxiety that, you know, we're not good enough, it actually comes from impossible standards that society creates for us. So, you know, this type of therapy has been really useful for me to be able to explore how we can, you know, center ourselves and kind of ask, you know, what do we really want? You know, what's our, you know, true purpose, rather than, you know, what they say, you know, should be your purpose, you know, concepts of success and achievement in society, these ideal role models that are unconsciously bombarded at us all the time. So in solution-focused therapy, the idea is that this gap that is created between those ideal models of perfection and who we are on a personal level, that gap creates that you know, incongruence between, you know, who I am and feeling that that's not perfect enough, that's not good enough. And a lot of, you know, we have to do a lot of work to let go of that thinking, you know, because it's not true, but our society keeps kind of piling on, you know, that this is true. You have to, you know, be better intellectually, be better academically, be better socially, be better emotionally, you know. You don't really, you know, you just have to kind of, you know, find your own personal meaning, your own personal purpose and follow that. You know, that's what it's really about. You know, when you find that, what you actually find is that more happiness, you know, more love comes into your life much more easily because you're congruent rather than chasing, you know, these false ideals. So, you know, it's about asking, you know, who am I really, as I was mentioning before. And a lot of, you know, upon growing up even, a lot of parents will say to their, you know, their children, you know, like, okay, now listen, only if you work really, really, really hard, you know, you can get somewhere in life, for example. And, you know, these types of beliefs that are constantly bombarded, you know, through media, through, you know, even parenting styles, through education style, education styles, definitely, you know, that we have to, you know, study really hard and do a lot of, you know, like research and science and tertiary education to be, you know, intelligent or to achieve something, you know, to be worthwhile. And it's actually, you know, not even remotely true. When we examine the core assumptions behind that, behind those statements, they're actually, you know, just really fear-driven. And usually they're someone else's idea of, you know, what achievement and what success is. Of course, you know, if you're, you know, doing something, you know, gaining all these things in life for someone else, then, you know, of course they're going to be happy, but what does that matter? You know, so when you really start thinking about it, you begin to realize that it doesn't matter very much. And when you can find that sense of, you know, meaning within yourself, then you realize that that's far more authentic and genuine than you know, achieving something, you know, that ideal goal that's up there somewhere, you don't even know, you know, if it's possible to reach, and usually it's not. There's no actual payoff for reaching it. So, you know, in this audio work, 8 Reflections on Following Your True Life Path, I don't have any answers personally, you know, about your life, but there's 8 reflections, so each one of them hopefully gives collective insights into, you know, how we can start thinking about the world and ourselves differently, rather than you know, in terms of collective success and collective achievement for someone else, it becomes about, you know, ourselves and finding our own inner consciousness, our own inner light. That's what becomes really important. So certainly check it out, and you know, go to my website, and you can also find a form on the BBS program, Awaken Your Higher Mind, where you can fill out a short form and download the ebook when it does become available. So this audiobook, you know, it should be up on the web soon. So next week, what we'll be discussing is how hypnotic states are used in our world, in our society, to create a sense of control and to entrance the masses, essentially. You know, hypnosis is used on a very wide scale, even basic levels like on television. You know, if you looked at someone really entranced in the TV, you'll normally find that their entire consciousness is kind of stuck there. And what we'll discuss is how hypnosis is all about that deep level of focus and being entranced in something completely, when your awareness is so deeply, you know, fully entrenched in something, you completely let go and allow that thing to, you know, kind of influence you very easily. And that's really great for meditation. You know, we'll talk about some techniques that you can use, some actual hypnotic and NLP-based techniques that you will be able to apply to meditate a bit more deeply than we've discussed today. But what we'll actually also talk about on the other side of the coin is, you know, how these techniques, how these hypnotic tools are used every day by media, by social conditioning that comes through in the way other people talk, core beliefs that permeate through our society and so forth, that have this, you know, hypnotic appeal. What I mean by that is they don't get questioned very easily. You know, these presuppositions about what is reality, you know, what is life, what is the purpose of being here. When someone is in a hypnotic state, they don't question, you know, the suggestions of the person conducting the hypnosis. The suggestions simply get accepted unconditionally by the unconscious mind. So what we'll discuss next week is how you can become aware of those suggestions, how you can actually switch from an unconscious to conscious level and realize that, you know, you can create your own suggestions for your mind, and you can also remove suggestions that other people are putting there, whether it's something as simple as a television ad. So it should be a really interesting topic next week, about hypnosis and NLP and their influence in modern society, as well as, you know, how you can use them on a personal level for your personal development and self-awareness. So I'd just like to thank you for, you know, listening to this first radio show. I hope you found it enjoyable and have taken something from it that you can use, because that's what this is essentially about. It's not about the theory, it's about the practice. And, you know, practicing self-awareness rather than just talking about it. So I hope you'll be able to do that. And feel free to email me anytime, radio@alexdefoe.com, with any feedback. And hopefully you'll tune in next week, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you again. Thank you.